Father in heaven, let the words that I speak today and the thoughts that I think today be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, you are my strength and my redeemer. Amen. I want to give honor to God, first of all, who sent his son Jesus, who died to save us. And when Jesus went back, he sent his Holy Spirit to comfort us. The Holy Spirit is the commander-in-chief of the divine on earth, and he is the commander-in-chief of the angels that have protected us all of our lives. We say, praise God for God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the angels. I would like to thank Pastor Dr. Baxter and Sister Hazel Baxter for so many years of knowing you. Okay. It's been a wonderful journey. I guess we've known each other for nearly 100 years. It's just a blessing. Pastor Baxter, I could not get over the fact that you and Sister Hazel have no wrinkles. That is a blessing, you know, no wrinkles at all. One of the things of your ministry that I would like to congratulate you for is the very fact that all three of your children are Seventh-day Adventists, working in different churches, and working vigorously for the Lord. Thank you. Praise God for that. Pisgah, your reputation has gone on before you. I heard someone say that once a long time ago, I preached at your church. Very honestly, I can't remember that, but I don't remember things like where I put my toothbrush and so forth now. So you will forgive me for that. But your reputation has come from the conference, and your pastor says that you are a wonderful, and I'm not shellacking anything. He says you're a wonderful, hard-working, kind church. I believe that because we have four children. Jan and I have four children and three grand and three great-grand. Two great-grand, is that right? Yeah, two great-grand. And our first two said that this is a sweet, kind church. Now, you might not know, but do you know Lori Preston? Yeah, that's our first daughter. She's the one who said, you are so kind and sweet. And then our second, I'm Lewis the third. See, I am junior. His name, everyone calls him Randy. He says, those are some lovely people there. So praise God that we have the opportunity to be here with you. I'm going to ask that you turn to the person next to you, please. And if it's just three of you together, the three of you huddle. And if you will pray that the Spirit of the Lord will be here in this place while I try to tell the truth about God the best I can, and I will end after I hear the beautiful sounds of your low voices praying for me. Would you do that, please? One, two, three, go. altogether, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you. Before I go further, I would like to recognize some of the people that I can remember, like the Gillises over there. I've known them both when they were very, very young. And I was, I think I was a teenager when you were little tiny tots, right? Right. And then there are the Fullwoods. We met in Patmos down in Florida. I didn't know that you were here, sir, you and your dear wife. And anyone else here remember me before I had gray hair? I would like to recognize you. Oh, back there. Who are you, sir? I see your hand. Oh, okay, wonderful. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you afterwards. Praise God. We're one family. Father, help. On the 15th of April last month, I went into my mother's room, who has been living with us. We've cared for her for the last 5 years. The last 2 years, she's been living with us. And I was going to administer her morning medication and give her her water. And I discovered that Mother had fallen asleep in Jesus. You prepare for those kinds of things, but when it happens, it takes you by surprise, doesn't it? It just throws you for a loop. I called Jan, who came and told her, and we could not believe it. Mother was basically in her right mind. She had no chronic illnesses, and she was only 101 years old. All right. And she could still, on her 100th birthday, we had a little ceremony. We had a big splash on her 100th birthday, but when she turned 101, the 7th of March, we had a smaller one, and my Jan said to her, "How do you feel? Did you ever think that you would live to be 101? And her answer was, "Don't rub it in." Now, two things I noticed about my mother socially. She had things basically together. Her grandchildren tenderly responded to her wishes. Her great-grands, well, she met them just once. Her children, Jan and I, it was basically our pleasure to take care of Mother. But what I really want to emphasize is that though Mother was identified as a saint, she always didn't act that way. Amen? And Jan cared for her in every way, public, financially, dietarily, intimately, medically. You understand what I'm saying. Day and night, bathing, doing everything that she could for my mother. And Jan, I just want to thank you. I want to publicly thank you. My mother said, "That's the daughter I didn't have." Amen, Jan. Now, the other thing I noticed about my mother, and here's where we begin to move into our short discourse this morning, is that even though Mother was a pastor's wife, my dad was a pastor here in Allegheny, she was a nurse, she was a secretary, executive, administrative assistant, she was a Bible worker, she was a call porter. She had a son that was a teacher, my brother Gilbert. I was a pastor. With all of that, we noticed, and I specifically noticed, that Mother had a little misunderstanding of the character and heart of God. Would you believe, with all of those years, as 100, 101, and I would have worship with her, I identified the fact that she was not secure about her salvation. Now, I know that just about everyone in here is that way. And so for the two or three people, there's really two, because sometimes I question whether the Lord is going to raise me. Amen? When the trump of God sounds, and Jan is already alive with her second husband, and we come up to meet the Lord in the air. I question that. Amen? That'll happen to you, brother. You know. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's in vain. But somehow, then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. There is a balm in Gilead that comes from the throne of God. And when I think about myself, I wonder how I can make it. But when I think about Jesus, I remember and I say, how can I miss it? And so my first slide, I remember the Bible and a chalkboard. Now you have to do all this. My first slide, did I hit it right, son? Did I hit it? Okay, the character of God. All right. Now I'm pushing where you told me, sir. Oh, point this way. Okay. See, there it is. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. I'm pushing, brother. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me. All right, there it is. Can you see that? No, you can't see it. But I can see it. Three verses that say very simply that when it says, in the beginning, God made the what? Heavens and the earth, and the earth was out without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of the Lord. When he said that, you can easily say, in the beginning, who?
God.
In the beginning, Jesus. I heard about three or four. But I just want you to know that John 1:1-5 says Jesus created the world. Amen? And Colossians 1 and Hebrews 1 all say Jesus created the world. Now, if you have any thoughts about that, and I heard the sister read from the book Adventist Home, so I say the people here believe in Auntie Ellen. Amen? Amen. And so here's what she says. I work this. Okay. Here's what she thank you. Here's what she said. It's on. Okay. Hello. Someone. All right, you have me. In the beginning, there we go. God was revealed in all the works of what? Creation. It was who? Christ. You can read that. That spread the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. It was his hand that hung the worlds in space and fashioned the flowers of the field. It was he who filled the earth with beauty and the air with song. And upon all things in earth and air and sky, he wrote the message of the Father's love. Amen. So there is no question as to who made this world and the universe. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I notice you have notes. Your lovely pastor, praise God, he has a page there that says notes. You can put those texts down. Now, when I think about my mom, who was not sure of her salvation, and I'm going to tell you at the end good news about my mom, the end. And I think about, I believe it's Isaiah, the 45th chapter, that speaks about Can a woman forget her what? Suckling child. Yes, she may, but the Lord will never forget. Why did Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, inspire Isaiah to use the mother? Because when you think about it, mother is an enormous replica for us to see and understand of the character and love of God. The UN Global Estimate and the American Health Association put together an article Guardian, I'm sorry. It was September 28th, 2018. And it says that in the year 2015, 303,000 women died either in childbirth or in that which was connected to their pregnancy and birth. That is something like 830 deaths a year with women. Now, you think, what about the millions of women in the world? This is worldwide. The millions of women who go into the gift of producing a human being on this earth, knowing that they could be among the dead. Are you with me? That is like the heart of God. And here's what gets me. Even though mothers take the risk of having children, and I remember that with my Jan, we almost lost her with our first child, Lori. Nurses came out and told me, because in those days, it was so far back, husbands weren't permitted inside there. Janice did not strangle the baby when she came out and said, "You almost caused me my death, amen? I'm going to get rid of you." Mothers don't do that. Amen. The moment the child comes, the pain, the Bible says, is almost forgotten. Amen? And the mother takes the child and cares for that child right through life, even when the child is not doing right. You can't mess with Dad, because Dad's not going to forgive you, but Mama might. Amen? So today, speaking about the heart and love of God, introducing it with my mom, who I loved and we buried a few days ago, I'm going to use a teaching mechanism that says something like, if you contrast that which is opposite of where you're going, more than likely you can remember. Does that make sense to you? No, you didn't get that. Okay, I'm going to show you. I want you to take your thoughts, and we're going to look at four women who basically don't meet the mark of what you would call a saint. Amen? So I'm going to start with the opposite so that we can get the picture, and it will be in our memory always. The first person I'm going to refer you to, her name is Tamar. What's her name?
Tamar.
Now, Tamar, you can find her story in Genesis 38, verses 24 and on. Chapter 38 in Genesis. And very quickly, Tamar was the daughter-in-law of Judah, who was the fourth son of who?
Jacob.
That's right. Amen. You can talk back to me, because I'm going to ask you some questions after a while. And she started out with being married to one of Judah's sons, but he died, and Judah was supposed to give her to another son. He did not do that. So what she did, it wasn't very saintly. She went to a city where he was going to go to sell some of his wares, and she posed as a woman of the evening. Was that okay? Amen. And he stepped out of line, and he saw her, and they became, shall we say, intimate. And then she had a child by him. They were going to burn her, because that's what they did in those days, because she had no husband. But then Tamar gave him the gifts that he had given her for the service she had rendered him. Amen? So that's one. What was her name?
Tamar.
Then there was a young lady named Rahab, and she was called the harlot. But I'm going to go back and talk more about her, because she is even identified as a non-saint. Amen. Then there was another one named Ruth. Now, you remember Ruth?
Yeah.
Now, what was wrong with Ruth? What is the statement that we all say at the weddings? What is it? Whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people will be my... Oh, we love Ruth. But here's Ruth's problem. She was a Moabite. The Moabites became a nation through incest. It was Lot's daughters who made him drunk and then became intimate with them, had children for their father. Amen? And the last one, you might know, her name is Bathsheba. Anybody getting uncomfortable here? Because all this is in the Bible, amen? This is not Saturday night at the movies. This is in the Bible. Anybody named there, and do you know any little girls named Bathsheba? No. No, you wouldn't. Not at all. Because she and David messed up a whole kingdom. Amen. I don't have to tell that story. So, we're going to go to Joshua, the second chapter. You may go there. Joshua, the second chapter. We're going to talk about the one that's identified in her non-saintly way. Her name is, what's her name? What's her name? Okay, let's review the people that we were, the young ladies we were talking about. The first one was Tamar. The second one was? The third one was? The fourth one was? Sheba. All right, fine, you've got it. Now, the story of, am I on? Oh, yeah, I can go back and forth. All right. The story on Rahab is that the children of Israel were settled in the Vale of Shittim under the acacia trees on the eastern side of the Jordan River. And they were about to cross the Jordan and take over the Canaan land. 40 years before this, Moses had sent out spies into Canaan land. And when the spies came back, they told of the joy and beauty, the resources, everything about Canaan land. The people were so excited. Two of the spies, who were they? And who else? Caleb and Joshua. They said, it's a wonderful experience. We can take the land. But the other spies said, no, they have giants in the land. Their walls are too high for us to even scale. They know the land. They will obliterate us. And the people, they cried and they moaned and they said to Moses and Aaron, why did you bring us out here to kill us? And they actually picked up stones to stone them, and the presence of God showed. They dropped those stones. And God spoke to them through Moses and said, Moses, get up off that ground. Tell those people They're not going to go into the promised land. Only those that are 0 to 12, 20 years old. The rest of you will have to walk 40 years in the wilderness. And here they were. The 40 years was up. They were ready to now go over under the leadership of Joshua. And so Joshua did what Moses did. He sent out two spies, two young men, and they went over into the city called what? The city of
Jericho.
Everyone, the city of
Jericho.
Now, the city of Jericho was incredible. It had these massive walls, and the people inside of Jericho were extremely wicked. If I hinted, I think the adults can understand. Archaeologists tells us that the priest and the leadership in the city of Jericho was so wicked that they would have intimacy with the dead. And so when God said destroy them all, he was justified. We don't understand the background all the time. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Now, those walls were incredible. The walls of Jericho look,
well, they didn't quite look like this, but it's close to it. Amen? They had two levels. This first level that you can see, this is where people lived. The second level was the protective level, so that when the armies came from the outside, the Jericho army, military, could be here, right here. And they would fight with the imposing army. However, if they should find themselves losing, they would scale the wall and go into the houses of the who? The poor people. Are you with me? The poor people. The people on welfare. The people who had food stamps. The drug dealers. The prostitutes like Rahab. This is where they were. And why? Because while the army was retreating, they could go through the apartments, come out, regroup, while the opposing army would be killing the poor people. The poor people always get you first. Right? Now, this was no mean, easy thing. You see, this, archaeologists tell us now, they said two chariots arrived, and I mentioned some chariots a long time ago. Let's say two suburban SUVs could ride on here, side by side. This was really a wall. Are you with me?
Amen.
And so it was that the young men, and the whole story, the plan of salvation couldn't be understood with this story of Rahab. The young men, they went into the city.
Da-da-da-da. Went around,
got inside, and may I use my pastoral imagination as I describe this? Is that all right? They got into the city. You can hear me, can't you?
No, no.
You can't. I need the mic. Okay. Okay. Oh, oh, sorry, sir. You're bigger than I am. I don't do what you say. Okay. Thank you. They got into the city, and they were walking around, and some of the people noticed them. They probably had picked up some of the language of Jericho, and they more than likely were in the marketplace. They were there for three reasons: to figure out, to make observation as to the population, to figure out the resources, and what the military had in store if they should take it. They were there, and some of the CIA and FBI and police recognized these were strangers. They said, let's get these guys. And they started running. Boom, 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 boom. They ran down one street, down the other. And these were Christian Seventh-day Adventist Israelites. And they didn't understand the red light district, okay? And so they saw this red cord coming out of this window, and the door was half cracked, and they ran in there, amen. When they got in there, this beautiful young woman began to take her hair down. Right away, they realized where they were. They saw the scarlet line. They didn't know what it was. They were good Adventist Israelites, but now they knew. And so, right away, they said to Rahab, no, 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 no. No, 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 we're not here for business, amen. We're good Seventh-day Adventist Israelite boys. We cannot, watch this, we cannot blow the model of God and the children of Israel. And in the future, watch this, we cannot, there's going to be a prophet down the road. His name will be Paul. Now, we don't know about him, but we hear that Paul is going to write a book called Ephesians. And in that book, are you with me? He's going to model Jesus with the church. In marriage, as in the Old Testament, God is modeled with Israel. Israel is his wife. In the New Testament, the church is Jesus' wife. So we can't break that model. You see, we Seventh-day Adventist Israelites, we don't believe that men should sow their wild oats while we want our wives to come down, wives to be the aisle without spot or wrinkle. Amen. What's good for the goose is good for the... Yes. And so right away she was moved by these two young men that were not moved by her figure or her face. Amen. Then she began, if you would look in the second chapter of Joshua, and she began to testify. She said, as soon as we heard about what you did to the kings of the Amorites, Sihon and Og, and how the Lord dried up the Red Sea, how am I doing on time, Pastor? Is it okay? Am I okay? Fine. All right. She says, as soon as we heard these things, our heart did what? Melt. Neither did there any more courage. Was there any more courage found in any man because of you? For, here she goes, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. Amen. All right. The Lord your God, he is God in the heaven above and in the earth beneath. And if you would take your Bibles, because I'm old-fashioned, take your Bibles and turn to Romans 10:9. Amen? Y'all got Bibles? Oh, I'm sorry. Take your iPhones and turn to Romans 10:9. Come on. Yeah, there we go. We're getting it. Romans 10:9. And it says here, if thou shalt confess with thy what? The Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Here, Rahab, Jesus hadn't come, but she confessed with her mouth that God was the God of the universe. And if you remember, who made the world? Jesus. Who made the world? Jesus. And so she was confessing. And John 1:12 says, for as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the what? Sons and daughters of God, even those that believe on his name. Look, when we believe on the name, we have power. Yes, sir. And that power
power causes us to be sons and daughters of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons and daughters of God. That's what Rahab did. First thing, when we hear good news, and we are Christians, your pastor is right on the ball. Pastor, may I call you Pastor Glenn? This Dr. Baxter is getting in my way. I mean, Pastor Glenn, you hit it on. We're not here to play, are we? We're here to save souls. What is the next thing that Rahab did? Are you reading there? Go back. Joshua, the next thing she says, will you save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have and deliver them from death when you come? Once you believe in God, once you have power to become a son and daughter of God, then the next thing you want to do is save folk. Amen. That's what she did. Now, I want you to look at the 15th chapter, because she said, then she let down the two spies by the cord through the window, for her house was upon the what? Town wall. And she dwelt there on the wall. She lived on the wall. And verse 18, and behold, the men said, the two spies, when we come into the land, you shall bind this scarlet line, scarlet thread in the window, which thou hast let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household into this land. First thing, she believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, I'm sorry. She believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which gave her power to become a daughter of God. Then once she believed, praise God, she started witnessing. She says, I want to save my family, amen? After she did that, watch this. She used her same talent to save. It was a scarlet line that told folk of her occupation, and that same line she used to save. If you can sing for the devil, like I used to do on Friday night, sing now in the church. Amen? Amen. If you have a personality to lead people into badness, use that personality to lead people into Christ. Use the same talents that God has given you to save souls. Amen. Now I'm going to turn over. I'm getting close to end now. The sixth chapter of the book of Joshua, you will find the story of how they took Jericho. There was an angel that stood in front of Joshua. He was shocked. The angel had a sword in his hand, and Joshua wasn't afraid of nobody. He says, are you for us or are you against us? And the big angel says, look, Joshua, take off your shoes. I ain't going to fight you. You're standing on holy ground. I'm the Lord God of hosts. Jehovah is my name. And Joshua worshiped. And then God gave Joshua the instructions as to how to take the city of Jericho. Let me get my wall again. He says, now, what I want you to do is I want you to walk around the city how many times? Is the first day 7 times? One time. The second day, how many times? One time. And third day, how many times? One time. Okay. And then on the 7th day, 7 times. Now, it was like this. First, they had warriors, just a few select men, just a few select men, who represented not by might nor by power, but by my strength, saith the Lord. Amen? Then after that, they had 7 priests with 7 trumpets. Then after that, they had the Ark of God, the priests holding it. And lastly, they had all of the armies according to tribes with their standards. Judah had one, and Reuben had one. All the armies of God, and they marched. go around every day. And all of a sudden, while they were marching, the seven trumpets would sound. Amen. And they'd go around. People would wonder. Ellen White says they would look down and say, "What is this?" Some were making fun. Others were scared to death. The second day they did it. The third day. And on the seventh day, they marched around seven times. Now, and then Joshua gave the signal. The signal was, what was the signal? A shout. Come on, make up one. Say amen. I mean, you don't be standing there, oh no, duh. Okay, now I'm going to blow the horn, and I want you to say amen, okay? Oh yeah, we're going to do this. I'm doing this for the children if they're not asleep yet. Okay.
Amen.
Okay. Now, I just want you to look at this. Where was Rahab's house? On the what? On the wall. The walls went, okay.
Amen.
The walls fell what? The men were told by Joshua to go into Rahab's house. The walls fell what? Rahab's house was still standing there. If the Lord can hold a harlot's house high, Candy, he can save you from your cancer, huh? If the wall, Lord, can hold a harlot's house high, he can help you with your mortgage. He can stop pornography. He can do anything he wants to do. If he can hold a harlot's house high and all the walls came down, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Same God who created the world. The same Jesus who made the universe. The same Jesus who put stars there. The same Jesus who made the airport. That Jesus held the harlot's house high. Amen. Who was the first lady I talked about? Who was the second one I talked about? Who was the third one I talked about? Who was the last one I talked about?
Bathsheba.
What we are talking about is the character and the love of God. By contrast, we have looked at ladies with sordid backgrounds. Isn't that right? We have looked at women who we probably, well, doing worship. My son Randy, any of you know Randy?
Yes.
Randy is tall, he's a lot better looking than I am, he looks like his mother. He's 6'4 and he weighs 235 muscles. Do I look anything like that?
Yeah.
It says, verse 25, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive. And her, this is chapter 6, I'm sorry. Rahab alive. And she dwelled in Israel even until this day because she had hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Rahab, the harlot, married a prince of Israel. I was doing worship, and I think Randy was 14. And I said, I got to this part, and he said, Dad, suppose you ran an evangelistic meeting, and I think we were still in England then. He says, in the Soho district of London, and one of the ladies of the evening join your church. And eventually, after she was baptized, she was a cradle roll teacher, and she sang in the choir, and she eventually became a junior deaconess, and I fell in love with her, and she with me.
Yeah.
would you let her marry me? My bloodline is going to be destroyed by a harlot. And I sat there, and I have this wonderful wife. She, that Janice saved me that evening. She says, oh. She says, Romans 8:1 says, in Christ there's no condemnation. And then Janice said, there's something called a recycled virgin in Jesus. Amen. When we come into the church, everybody has a problem. Some people's lives have been more exposed than others. But when they come in here and they are baptized, the only thing they need from us is love and inclusion, even if it means within our own family. Amen. So, who are the ladies again? The first one. The second one, the third one, and the fourth one. Will you turn to Matthew, the first chapter? Some of you Adventists, old ones, know where I'm going. Matthew, the first chapter. You ready? You have it? Pull out your phone. You got your phones, okay. The book, are you reading with me? Of the generations of Jesus Christ. Generations of who?
Jesus.
The son of who?
David.
And the son of who? Abraham. And I'll read. And Abraham begot Isaac. And Isaac begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Judas and his brethren. And Judas begot Phares of Zerah. Of Tamar. Transliteration for Tamar. And Phares begot Esram. And Esram begot Aram. And Aram begot Aminadab. And Aminadab begot Nisan. And Nisan begot Salmon. And Salmon begot Boaz of Rahab. Transliteration for Rahab. And Boaz begot Obed of Ruth. Now, y'all, are you out there? And Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David the king. And David the king begot Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias. Who was that?
Bathsheba.
In the bloodline of Jesus was the forgiving factor. His DNA has been stamped with forgiveness. Forgiveness gushes out from Calvary in the form of blood, sweat, suffering, and groans. And these, like childbearing pains, are signs of man's freedom from sin and freedom from death. How often has the umbilical cords of iniquity, transgression, and sin strangled us? But the Savior, the one who created the world, takes his salvific scissors and cuts us free. And never forgets or remembers what we have done.
Amen.
Amen. Because of Tamar and Ruth and Rahab and Bathsheba. Now, I was at one church, and this church had these uppity people. They said, well, Mary is not in the bloodline of Jesus. Here we go.
Now let this work, Jesus. Here we go. Here it is.
Caesar Augustus, this is Desire of Ages, page 44, is made the agent for the fulfillment of God's purpose in bringing the mother of Jesus to Bethlehem. You want to read that with me? Can you see it? Everybody. She is of the lineage of David. And the son of David must be born in David's city, but in the city of their royal line, Joseph, who should have been king of Israel at that time. And Mary, lineage of David, are unrecognized and honored. In the bloodline of Jesus, there are four women of ill repute. The character of God goes like this. Whatever you have done that's not right, if you go back and say to God, like my mother used to shake her head when I would recite some passages while we would have worship, you say, God, remember I did this? Please forgive me for what I did back there. I've asked for forgiveness before, but it's so hard on me. You know what God says to us? My heart of love can't remember what you did. I can't remember. What are you talking about? The older I get, I'm going to say, any young men in here? Anybody under 25 or 30 in here? Young men. Yeah, I saw your hand. All right, yeah. Be good when you're young, because when you get older, your guilty paths haunts you. Amen? You remember things that you have forgotten for 30 years. I'm there. My next birthday, I'll be 80 years old. And I'm telling you, it comes on me, but I remember that Jesus has forgotten because I have confessed it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. In Christ there is no condemnation, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The same one who made this universe, who made this world, humbled himself and came as a baby, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, rose again on his own steam. I have power to raise myself up again. Amen?
Amen?
Went to glory and stands there as our intercessor. And when we sin, God looks at Jesus and Jesus says, don't worry about Lewis Preston. Look at me. He has asked for forgiveness of sin. My blood, and I'm covered. I stand there justified, ratified, sanctified in Jesus. My mom, 2 weeks before she died, we were having our little worship. I would actually sit her, she only weighed 88 pounds, in my lap and hold her. Sometimes she didn't want to be there. And she did like this. Amen. I want everybody in this room to do that. One more time for the Holy Ghost now. You are saved while you're being saved. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord loves you. His character is to forgive. If we remember that Abraham lied twice, the same lie. The 20th chapter of Genesis, then the 26 years between. That's not my wife, that's my sister. Remember that in Exodus, the second chapter, Moses killed a man. He wasn't just nobody. He had a mother. He had a father. He more than likely had a wife. Moses killed him. God says that Abraham, let's go back, is my friend. I'll miss him when he dies. With Moses, he's the most humble man on earth. Amen? That's ever walked. God doesn't hold stuff. God loves us. Regardless, all we have to do is say, I'm sorry.
Amen.
Amen. And it goes something like this, and I'm ending now. When I marry folk, and I'm going to make a call, I'm going to tell one story in the call. When I marry folk, I have them standing up, and then I ask the congregation, those that are married, to stand up. And I say, repeat after me. You were right. I was wrong. I apologize. Will you forgive me? I am sorry. And every time I do that, the audience, there's a lot of laughter. Do you know why? People find giving themselves to another in open confession very difficult. But a stiff neck, the Old Testament says, is just like witchcraft. Are you with me? We can't say I'm sorry to our child when we've done wrong, to our spouses, to our work friends, that we don't belong in glory. Because all we have to say is, I'm sorry, you were right, I was wrong, will you please forgive me? I apologize, Jesus. That's all it takes. And the crown of glory is yours. Now, in conclusion, Tacoma Park, Maryland, years ago, young man, we'll call him Jimmy, became his friend. His wife was a nurse. Jimmy was a little different. He was like, well, Jimmy has children now, and they call him Extra. That's what his children call him, Extra. And they make fun of him, but he doesn't mind. Known Jimmy for just about many, many years. He came back, I knew him well, and he called me. I was at his wedding, and he said, Lou, I was getting ready to go to Andrew's, so he said, Lou, I had left Andrew's, and he called me. And he said, Lou, he says, I just got married, I came off my honeymoon, and I just want to run something by you. He says, I set my wife down the bed beside me, and I told her this. We've had our wonderful wedding. We've had our honeymoon. And I just want you to know where my heart is. And he says, I've been putting a little money away since we were engaged. Every month. And I'm transferring that money into your account. And that's for you, in case just living with me is not so comfortable. You always have money to get on a plane and go and see your mama. He says, and then I just hope you come back. And, I just want you to know you're not here under any bondage. And then he said, I told her that if something should go wrong. Now, I want you to know his wife isn't anything like those ladies I said. Are you with me? Because this was a good Christian girl. I happen to have known she was without spot or wrinkle walking down the aisle. All right? And she takes him lightly, but he said this. He says, if things should go bad, I just want you to know how much I am in love with you and committed. He says, if you should leave and go out and have an affair, and then maybe pregnancy should overtake you, I want you to know you can always come home because there's nobody going to be here but me. And you can always use this key. And when you come in, come back to me. And you tell me you're finished with that life out there or him, that child will carry my name and nobody will know. He says, Lou, did I tell her right? Man, I couldn't answer for the swelling up in my throat. Because that young man understood the heart of God. Do you hear me? Adultery isn't the last straw. There's forgiveness with thee that thou should be feared. I wait on the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I wait on him, and there is forgiveness with thee that thou should be feared.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Who would like to stand with me and say, Lord, I understand your heart a little more. I got my salvation together this morning. Amen. Who'd like to stand with me? Huh? I feel the presence of the Lord because there's no wrong that I could do that you can't forgive. And whatever I have done and confessed, you have forgotten. And when Satan tries to confuse me, I tell him, my salvation is paid for by the blood of the Lamb. Is there anyone here who would like to take their stand for Jesus this morning? Amen, Sister Candy. Amen, Pastor. Go on back there. Sister Hazel, go on back there and put your arm around her. Yes, indeed. Thank you, Jesus. Play something, son. Soft. Amen. Praise God. Is there another who wants to accept Jesus this morning? Come on. Thank you. Yes. All the way my Savior leads me. Together. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt this tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Same key, son. Heavenly peace, divine is comfort. My faith in him to dwell. For I know what is before me, Jesus doeth all things well. All together. For I know what is before me, Jesus doeth all things well. Pastor, would you pray for us, please?
Thank you so much. God loves us. He loves us. Should we offer prayer as we take the posture of surrender? Our Lord and our Father, we thank you for this that we have experienced. We thank you that you love us with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness you're drawing us to yourself. Lord, sometimes the baggage that we're carrying is so heavy, it weighs us down. The memories of our past overwhelm us. But we thank you today that we have been freed, for we recognize your heart of love for us, in that while we were still in our sins, Christ died for us. And so today we are rejoicing with Sister Candy that you have given her a new life physically. You brought her through her brain surgery. And Lord, she's here when the doctors would have given up on her. And today her grandchildren are here with her as she now surrenders her life fully and completely to you. As she begins this journey, we pray, dear Lord, that you will walk with her day by day, step by step, until your kingdom shall come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yes, Lord, we have to live in this sinful world some more, but I pray that daily those of us who stood, acknowledging that the baggage that we are carrying is so heavy, sometimes it overwhelms us. Our minds are filled with our past that we cannot make progress to the future. And so each time we come together, may our burdens be lifted. May you make it lighter as we see that you do care, that you will save us. Thank you for your manservant and for the word that he has placed on our hearts. Now be with us, go with us, guide us step by step. And those who are yet struggling, they're not sure, they're betwixt and between, give them the courage to lay all on the altar, to give it all to Jesus, laying all our burdens down. In Jesus' name we pray. Let all God's children say, amen and amen. Please, if you...